Go beyond that. And see that your spiritual body is always fulfilling the law of God that you be perfect in every way. And so, in order to fulfill God's command that you be perfect as your Father, simply accept your spiritual body, which has neither beginning nor end in time or space, and you'll find perfection is the law of your spiritual body. It's the law of paradise. It's automatic. That's what is meant by all of the grace of the Father is in you already since the beginning, since before the world was. And so refuse to accept the lie. Find the miracle of consciously living in a spiritual body of spiritual flesh, and therefore reject the opposites. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what your charts say. I don't care what x-rays say. I don't care how you feel. Accept your spiritual body. Refuse to accept that which is talking about your not spiritual body, because it's not yours. It's a world broadcast. Turn the dial. Turn the dial of your mind. Touch the truth. God cannot create a body that can be infected, a body that can be in pain, a body that can suffer, a body that can be influenced by any power on the face of the earth. That body is not my body. I do not have two bodies. I have a spiritual body made of spiritual flesh, which is never in pain, never destroyed, never subject to bullets or drunkenness or any form of discord. Any discord is, in a false sense of body, that is not mine. Suffer to be so now. Rest in the truth. That picture will change. You must rest in the truth. Start living it day by day by day until it's quick to recognize. Oh, that just came out of the world mind. It flashed into mind. It's saying you got a rheumatism. Who's got rheumatism? I'm not accepting that body. I'm in the body that's perfect as the Father. Be perfect right now, not tomorrow. Be perfect as your Father. Accept that spiritual body which is perfect right now. Now you know and I know that you have not always done that. And how can you tell what it will do for you when you do it unless you do it? Paul says, we have all received the body of Christ. John says, we have all received the fullness and the grace of that body. And they are talking to the mind of you which does not know this, trying to make you receive a higher understanding above the mind, which can suddenly click into place and say, why would they waste their time telling me that? They have nothing to gain, except that they are windows for Christ. So I will say amen. That's true. And I'm saying to my mind, you tricked me long enough. You're a liar. You're a thief. You're a deceiver. I'm not going to listen to you. From that you get an inner strength which lifts you up above that mind. Sometimes surprisingly quick. Sometimes it doesn't yield. And you say, oh, I thought it was true. Try it again. Try it again, try it again. If you're going to forgive your enemy 70 times 7, how about praying 70 times 7 with the truth? Knowing the truth again and again and again without ceasing. Knowing truth in consciousness must manifest. It is a law. But will you keep the truth in consciousness? If you do, you will see the manifestation of that law. And when your body feels better, you may not realize it, but you have attained a degree of awareness about your spiritual body. Somehow, it has come through to you. And that is how it will manifest the harmony that you had wanted. There are many subtle things that happen in this type of praying without ceasing. Before you know it, you're not in the mind. You don't know why or how, but you're above the mind. You transcend it. You're in the soul. And then, that's all there is to it. The minute you're in the soul can only express your spiritual body. It can never express anything else. The physical body is the world mind. The soul expresses the spiritual body. And because soul has not yet risen to its kingdom of soul, but is still traveling through time, you're seeing the spiritual body of the soul through the world mind, through the glass darkly. But when you rise into soul, you're out of world mind, and you see this body more directly, and it is without blemish. I think we'll stay with some of these Bible quotes because they are the Word of God. It says here in 2 Corinthians that the world mind blinds mankind to its identity as Christ and as the Christ body. And that's precisely what we've been saying. Looking out at the world, but not knowing you're looking at it through the world mind. And so you see the images of the world mind. You see the good and evil. You look at the world like Adam. Separated by the world mind from divinity, from God, from Christ, and yet in divinity, in Christ, in reality. But having to see this through the world mind, you see a world of good and evil. A world of rich and poor. You see people who are honest and good become victims of all kinds of catastrophes. Through the world mind, although God is the creator of life, you see genocide. You see 3 million people killed in Cambodia. You see 12 million killed in Poland. You see another 20 million killed in Russia. You see all kinds of life being taken away, although God is the creator of eternal life, because you're looking through a world mind. It isn't even individual hypnosis. It's world hypnosis, individually accepted. The world blinds, says Paul, blinds mankind to the reality of Christ as its identity. A good question comes up when you say to yourself, why does God permit all this? Why does a perfect God who creates a perfect creation permit this? Go back to the education of your soul. Your soul must go through the non-creation in order to understand creation. Your soul must experience the evil to know the good. Your soul must experience non-life to know what life is. Your soul is being educated. You are not being educated as a human being. God is not educating the mirage. Christ is teaching your soul. And while you stay in the human mind, you naturally have no awareness of this teaching of Christ to your soul. And so all these human questions arise. Why? But when you rise out of the world mind, you see the mirage of it and the why is gone. It's used as a way of teaching your soul. There is no death. There is no genocide. There is no disease. There is no war. It is all in the world mind. It is not in the infinite body of the Spirit of God. Come out of her. Awaken from this dream of mortality. We're told that flesh is grass. We are told that there is a cosmic illusion called birth. We have to see that divine life is never born. It is. We have to see that the birth is a teaching. And the minute you come over it to realize that it is not the appearance of divine life, but that divine life is there, the minute you come to that, you are out of the world mind. In other words, that awareness and that need to come over the sense of birth brings you out of the world mind, and that is the teaching, because that opens your soul. And that brings all that concerns you under divine law. Individually, we've all made this mistake about ourselves and everyone we know. We have all accepted the cosmic illusion of birth. That's why Jesus had to appear in a different kind of birth, to show that there aren't two kinds of birth, one in a womb through the union of male-female. There's another kind of birth. And that kind of birth, which occurred without the union of male-female, that's your birth. That's what I'm demonstrating, says Christ. This little boy here, without benefit of human father, is telling you that that's your invisible life, too. You were never born of a physical union. Because you existed before the physical union. Christ existed before Jesus was born. Christ existed before your human form was born. And the Christ of Jesus and the Christ of you are one and the same. Only through meditation, repeatedly, can the knowledge become alive in you that before the birth of this form, Christ I was, Christ I am, Christ I always will be. Maybe we should do that. Before form, I existed. And if you want to be an absolute truth, before form, I exist. There's no past. What seems to be past is now. My existence covers all that seemed to be past. Before form, I exist now. During form, I exist now. After form, I exist now. My existence before, during, and after form is all now, right now. I am eternally existent now. That's the truth of you. Dwell with it. I am eternal existence now. You can never funnel me into a little tube of toothpaste called a body, or into a little tomb called a body. I am eternal existence now. What is man that he is to be accounted of? God is no respecter of persons. I am always eternal existence now. Before Abraham was, I am. Even unto the end of the world, I am. And when there is an end, I am. Feel the scope of being. How high is up? It is just like past, present, and future. Non-existent, for only existence is undivided, and it is I. Up and down are only concepts. As high as a plane can fly and beyond is my existence now. As deep as the earth and beyond is my existence now. I am undivided existence, covering all that appears to be the world, the cosmos, the many universes unseen to man. One Christ body, one Christ life I am. You cannot place me in a tomb, for in three levels of consciousness, 3 days, I will raise that body again. What Gethsemane means? Gethsemane is an oil press. It was no coincidence that before crucifixion, Jesus went to Gethsemane. The oil press is a symbol of the essence of being being extracted from the wine. The oil extracted from the illusion of life, the oil extracted from the truth of being, Jesus in Gethsemane was showing that he had a body which had been extracted by the soul from divine life. Soul draws from divine life, extracts the essence, shows it forth as divine form. Just as the oil press draws the wine from the grape. And so he went to Gethsemane, which was saying, I am in a body of essence, which my soul has extracted like wine from a grape, from the Christ life. And this body is the one that will walk through this crucifixion untouched. Visibly, where people can see it being done, so that they will know there is a body that cannot be crucified. It is an invisible body. It doesn't fit up on a cross. You can't put nails in it. You put the nails in the illusion. And in Gethsemane, which is a symbol of the oil extracted from your, by your soul from your spirit, that body of Christ is demonstrated as indestructible, invincible, just as it could not be crucified on a cross, it could not be buried. The crucifixion and the burial were the illusion of a life that men could see and a body men could see. They could not see the body of Gethsemane, the body that is your body. Well, you have a body of Gethsemane. And as we release the soul more and more from the tomb of time and the world mind, it will rise and it will extract from your spirit that essence, that oil, and it will make known to you that Christ body which you are now struggling to realize is yours. There will come the day when what you are trying now to understand and to realize, your soul will proclaim and show you to be the light of Christ. But it is now the fact of your being. Some of the qualities of your spiritual body, so that you can reject those qualities which are not true of you. Beside never having been born and never dying, your spiritual body is always under the law of God, and therefore always in perfect harmony. It functions without flaw. It doesn't have a heart that can stop beating, or a pair of lungs that can suddenly not get enough air. It doesn't have a brain that could have a stroke. It doesn't have a spine that needs an adjustment. It doesn't need sleep. Your spiritual body is under grace, but it is your only body. And therefore, when your sense body comes to you with a complaint, can you stand fast and behold the salvation of the Lord? You can if you know you have a perfect spiritual body and no other. Standing fast mean? refusal to live outside your identity. And if the first 500 times you don't succeed, and the second 500, remember, that's what you're here to do. To do it. To do it. To do it. Regardless of failure, until the mountain is moved. Until the mountain disappears. Until something in you is lifted above the mountain. Until the Father within proclaims the truth. Father within. Peace. I, the Christ that you are. Peace. The divine life that you are. Peace. The invisible divine body that you are. Peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth unto you. Give I, your own Christhood, I give unto you a peace in which the world stands still. It is a peace beyond your human understanding. But the you that is there is understanding itself. I give to you the peace of divine understanding. The peace that knows I am the one self. Thou seest me, thou seest the one self, the Father. Without effort, there is no evil to resist. Because I and the Father are the one self. In this knowledge, the seventh day consciousness opposites fade away. One tree of life, divine fruit, infinite divine fruit, every month of the year. We are resting in the Word. The Word is, I am. Instinctively, every day, even students of the Infinite Way live in their physical bodies. You can build the habit of living in your spiritual body instead. And then you can build the idea of living in your infinite spiritual body. until instinctively, when you're not in your infinite spiritual body, something clicks on like a thermostat. You don't feel right. Something's missing. I feel incomplete, not whole. As if I occupy a little corner of this universe somewhere, finite. And I'm vulnerable. I can be attacked by all kinds of circumstances, persons, situations, weather, germs. I'm in the wrong body. Make the adjustment. Rest in the word. Come into the awareness instantly that the invisible Spirit of God is my only body. I don't have a body with a heart and with lungs, or even with a brain. Not my body. That's my automobile. That's my suit of clothes. That's what the world sees me in. That's not my body. Because thou seest the real me, thou seest the Father. I am the light of the world. This is what you are doing in your meditation. And this is what you must do to build the living consciousness of being in your real body. Not finite, not mortal, not subject to death, not made of physical structure. Not aging. Not susceptible to any form of discord. Not capable of showing forth a discord. This is what's going on in your consciousness. And your consciousness is not in your head. Your consciousness is everywhere. Your consciousness is omniscient. You're living in the consciousness of the Father. Not in a little restricted zone. Please practice this. Please, in the morning when you get up, get out of your temporary sense of a finite physical body. And then you can follow Christ that day. And if by 12 o'clock you have fallen back into the false sense of body, call it to your attention. Don't waste that day by moving in a false sense of body, which automatically makes you live in a false sense of life with no continuity, no purpose. This body, Paul reminds us, is without father, without mother, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Made like unto the Son of God, it lives forever. Call no man your father. Be not the natural man which receiveth not the things of your father. Remain awake and don't fall back into the sleep of living in that physical form. And then you are being the image of God. You are being yourself. I think there's a very important statement by Paul in Colossians. He says, when you do this, when you live in your reality, then you have forgiveness of sins. Now, that's not as simple as it looks, forgiveness of sins. What he means by that is when you live in your real body, all the accumulated karma of all your incarnations is dissipated. And even though the world has karma and you live in the visible world to human eyes, when you're living in your real body while you appear in the human world, world karma cannot touch you, and that's the forgiveness of sins. Meaning, there's nothing in this world can remove you from life. When you're living in your real body, you are missile proof. I don't know if you can truly accept that. If you can, there can be no fear of missiles ever. The only fear you might have is, can I maintain the knowledge that I'm in my real body? But if you can, you'll find nothing can come nigh thy dwelling. Whether it's 10,000 missiles here or 1,000 missiles there, nothing can come nigh thy spiritual body. You think that might be the armor of light? Are we simple-minded to believe that? Or are we inspired? There will be many who say we're simple-minded. But each one in his own heart determines whether we are simply being gullible, accepting a hope as a fact, or whether we are walking in a sense of reality. Suppose missiles had fallen at Golgotha instead of crucifixion. Would the Christ have been any safer against crucifixion than against missiles? Wasn't that a demonstration for all time that death cannot touch your spiritual body, whether it's nails on a cross or germs or missiles or fire or whatever? For me, it's a demonstration that life is always life, and that death only occurs where there is no awareness of reality that is the life of God. So let the world say that you're gullible or simple-minded. I guess Jesus was as simple-minded as we are then, because he consciously walked on a cross. He consciously accepted the Christ teaching that you are not in that body. And to be more precise, he consciously turned over his mind to the Christ mind so that it could have and perform its will, which was to demonstrate that the spiritual body of man is never on a cross, never crucified, always alive. Some will call it simple-mindedness. The enlightened will call it pure at heart. Very important statement in 2 Timothy. Grace was given to us in Christ. In other words, Christ's identity was given to us before the world began. And was now made manifest by the appearance of Christ Jesus, who hath brought life and immortality to light. You'll find that in 2 Timothy, right in the first chapter. Immortality was always present. The immortal life of Christ was always present as your life, but in Christ Jesus, that was brought to light, so that you would know it existed. It was here. But if someone, such as Christ Jesus, had not brought it to light, we would still not know it existed. But now we do know. Probably go the full 2 hours today, or a little longer anyway. And so Paul says your real body is the temple of God, the holy temple of God. And he says that the corruptible man, the man in the body that deteriorates or that corrupts like rust, must put on the garment of incorruption, or change in consciousness to the acceptance of the invisible body, which is the temple of the living God. And that's your spiritual body. Thus in consciousness, become aware of the temple of God, which cannot be crucified, which cannot be subject to nails on a cross, a breakdown of any physical organ, or extermination from a nuclear bomb. The temple of the living God is your real body, and in it you are forever free and alive. You are learning how to swallow up death in victory. It will not be done in a 2-hour class. It will not be done in a month. Maybe not even in a year. But this is the way to immortality now. You accept it now. And then through inner grace, you are lifted into the realization of that which you are accepting.